Welcome back to What Did They Know podcast. This week, the guys discuss the firing of the Giants head coach, Brian Daboll, and the surprising injury update from Joe Burrow. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the What Do They Know podcast. We are on week 10. Nick and Jeff back with you as always. Hope y'all had a good week and are staying warm.
Yeah.
If you're on the East Coast with this freaking snow.
So first time we said that all year.
Dude, it snow. Is way too early. It's not even Thanksgiving yet. It is way too early for snow. We're decorated for Christmas in the Hoskins house.
Oh.
We put up blow-ups this weekend. We, you know, my wife did the lights. We did all of the things
all
on
the
Saturday.
Things.
Kids had hot cocoa while they decorated their tree. So this is by far the earliest that we've done that
right.
this year, but partly because we're going to be gone the week of Christmas.
Yeah.
So we wanted to take advantage of it as long as possible.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Are you going to get a tree this year?
Probably not.
Dude. Y'all need to yell at him and tell him to get a tree. It's like my favorite tradition.
Yeah, no, putting up a tree is nice. It just feels empty without the presents underneath, you know?
Well, that's fair.
So it's like,
Also, I shouldn't give you too much crap because we're only using the kids' small fake tree this year.
I was going to ask.
That's our tree.
Uh-huh.
That's our tree because we're leaving.
Right.
And Christy's like, I don't want to have to worry about it, you know, going up in flames while we're gone, or, you know, I don't want to have to come back after a week gone to a dead tree that we have to take down and take all the decorations off. And
right.
So I kind of get it. I'm super bummed because going to get a tree
that's
is
tradition.
Like one of my favorite things.
Yeah, that's tradition for you guys.
So I think we're still going to go with everybody else. We're just not going to get one, apparently.
Right.
Which I am not for.
Yeah, just take one.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
So you say just take one?
Yeah, just take one.
Yeah, just take one. Yeah. Tis the season. all right. We will dive into the stories. I feel like we got a lot. A lot of different stories, a lot of different angles this week, so I'll let you kick it off.
Perfect. Well, I'll start with one that came out today, and that's the Brian Daboll firing. Obviously, this has been something that's been brewing for quite a while, I feel like. Giants fans have kind of grown, tired and you know, impatient what feels like a decade of mismanagement from the Giants, and, I mean, Daboll is just
it's gotta
another
be that
name.
Stadium, man.
MetLife?
Gotta be the stadium. Ever since that godforsaken stadium, everybody gets hurt and the teams suck.
Yep. It's just the way it goes.
Tear it down.
Build a new one. But alas, Brian Daboll's days as head coach is done. I mean, I feel like he did buy himself some time with the Jackson Dart transition. However, it was not enough. I believe there was a report just last week where they were about to fire him after the Denver Broncos let down. That was pretty historically bad. I think they had like a 99.6% chance of winning that one, but obviously they found a way to lose. So, I mean, where Brian Daboll goes from here, I'm not sure. I mean, there's a few teams linked, like the Bills, AO, bringing him back. I heard North Carolina is a possibility, team up with Bill Belichick down there. So that would be a little odd, but still, Brian Daboll, I feel like maybe it is the stadium, to be honest with you, because I feel like everything he tried just went sideways in the worst way possible every single time, and it I feel like there's a lot of things out of his control that it just never panned out the way, you know, any other head coach I feel like would have found a way to make play. But I mean, this is their sixth head coach since 2016. Obviously, we had the Ben McAdoo days. Steve Spagnuolo became an interim coach after they let go of him, and then Pat Shermer, Joe Judge, and then Brian Daboll. It's been none of those names stand out to me. Steve Spagnuolo obviously has had quite a tremendous run as defensive coordinator for the Chiefs. But I mean, most of those guys, I can't even name where they are right now, to be honest with you. So where Brian Daboll ends up, I'm not exactly sure, but this is a new step for the Giants. Mike Kofke, the offensive coordinator for the Giants, is going to take over. Obviously, the offense is doing pretty you know, above average for the Giants. A lot of that credit can go to Mike Klefke and Jackson Dart. Obviously, if you had Cam Scatabudu there to complement that, that would be all the more reason to have some faith.
Or Malik Nabers.
I mean, there's a lot of things that went wrong this season. But in terms of turning the keys over to Mike, I mean, you can only anticipate so much if you're a Giants fan, but we'll see who they end up with their head coaching search in the offseason.
Yeah, so I follow a lot of Giants fans, a lot of Giants people on like social media and, you know, all that good stuff. And from seeing their comments over the last few weeks, I don't think it's, in my opinion, from what I could read and what Giants fans at least think, it's not the fact that they were losing games. It's how they were losing them.
Yeah.
They basically have decided, they decided weeks ago, and the Denver game didn't help, and obviously yesterday didn't help either, that Brian Daboll does not know how to manage a game. That his ability to coach and manage effectively is just not there. I mean, obviously you talked about the Broncos game, gross mismanagement, throwing it on third down, you know, lots of different things that he did there that people would like to have back. And then even yesterday, they were winning that game in large margin for a decent amount. Obviously you can say, you know, Jackson Dart went out with the concussion, Russell Wilson came in, and I saw one guy say that Wilson actively tried to lose that game yesterday, which made me laugh. But obviously he came in and it was a disaster and Chicago came back. So I think it's more the fact that like they are just not holding these leads. They're not holding these games where they're winning.
Right.
You know, obviously I think he gets credit for what he's done with Jackson Dart, identifying Jackson Dart. You know, so he I feel like in a weird way, he kind of set the stage for whoever comes in to have moderate success. You know, they got to do a lot. They got to build their offensive line. Their defense hasn't been nearly as good as they expected.
Right.
But I mean, you get Nabers back, you get Scatabu back. All of a sudden, they have a decent amount of weapons. You got Wandale Robinson, you got Darius Slayton. so that's encouraging for them. The thing that is interesting to me is the fact that they kept Joe Shane, their GM. Typically, when you do a move like this, it's a package deal.
Right.
I mean, they brought in Shane and Daboll in the same season. So they've both had the same amount of time.
Right.
But in the statement that John Mara released today, he said that, you know, Joe Shane will be keeping his job and will be heading up the search for the next head coach, which leads you to believe, based on the way that it was worded, that he's going to be there next year too.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people are saying they didn't have a problem with, you know, Daboll getting fired, but why not just cut the cord and get a complete clean slate? So that's the interesting part to me. I know a lot of Jets people said that, you know, the Giants are doing what the Jets did when they fired Todd Bowles, then they kept Mike Maccagnan, their GM, and that was a complete and utter disaster. So we'll see. You could say that Joe Shane, you know, he drafted Dart, he drafted Nabers, he identified Cam Scatabu. You could say all those things. He has made a couple good decisions. But at the same time, he's also responsible for letting Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley walk out the door. So I could make an argument both ways. I just think it's very interesting that they made that decision.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any time where you fire the head coach and you keep the GM and it kind of works out for you. And nothing really comes to mind. Maybe a viewer would kindly mention it. Looking at you, TikTok, kindly mention a you know, a thought of when an instance like that happened successfully. But yeah, I mean, Shane might be on borrowed time, I feel like, especially if he doesn't revamp the offensive line. I feel like that's like the one thing they're missing, to be honest with you. You label the weapons, Malik Nabers, Cam Scatabu. I feel like you're set in terms of skill position players, especially if Dart is going to be your quarterback going into next year, which he should be. It's just going to be that offensive line, which as long as it's there to protect Dart and give Scatabu some holes so he's not, you know, maybe in concussion protocol by like week three of next year, I think they're in good hands. In terms of their defense, obviously the expectations are a little bit of a letdown this year. But, I mean, Abdul Carter is, a rookie this year. Year two might be a little bit better for him. Brian Burns
is having a great year. Everybody else on the line has had, like, is non-existent as, right. far, as far as pressure and sacks go.
Right. So we'll see where they go. Maybe we're looking at you know, a defensive coordinator or defensive line coach or something along those lines. But I feel like they have the talent. It's just about getting the right coaching staff in there.
Yeah.
I feel like Shanahan's going to be on the clock next year in terms of offensive line.
Yeah, I feel like putting the GM situation aside, this will be a job that people want, right? Mm-hmm. As far as, you know, you always rank, oh, which opening is the best, which is the least desirable, mm-hmm. i.e. Saints. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, it's all about the quarterback situation most of the time.
Yeah, they have a quarterback. They're going to have a high pick,
mm-hmm.
right? More than likely top five.
Right.
So that's always enticing. And who knows? But I think it'll be a job that they'll get a good quality candidate because someone's going to want that job.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. And then my second top story is the Kyler put on IR/, you know, his departure is imminent.
It's the weirdest story, dude. Weirdest story.
Because he was almost ready to play like last week, wasn't
dude,
he?
Dude, you saw clips of him in practice right next to Jacoby Brissett looking completely fine. No limp, no noticeable injury, no brace or boot on his foot, nothing.
Right. Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he's on IR.
He's on IR. I have no idea what to make of the situation. I feel like there's a lot of roundabouts that the Cardinals are doing because for whatever reason, they just do not want to move, like declare that they're moving on from Kyler Murray. And I think that's the strangest thing because I feel like everyone else just knows it already at this point. I mean, I feel like the departure is imminent, so to speak. A trade should be coming. Unfortunately, his value is pretty low, probably at an all-time low right now, so you're going to get, you know, pennies on the dollar for Kyler Murray. But at the same time, it's just a breakup that's needed to happen for a while. Regardless of what coaching staff you've had in there, it just has not worked between Kyler Murray and you know, Cliff Kingsbury. I heard a report or a link between the Commanders and Kyler Murray. And I was like, there's no way. If I'm Kingsbury, I'm not touching that.
God, no, dude. Do not bring that guy.
Yep, do not bring that man in here. Not even as a backup. Please, no. I mean, at this point, Kyler, I feel like both Kyler and the Cardinals have to look at themselves in the mirror at this point and realize what this is something that's just not working. And you know, if you have to come out and just declare it and say, you know, we're going to go our separate ways in the offseason, so be it. I mean, if you're going to embrace a backup role, if you're Kyler, that's fine. That's dandy. I think that shows maturity, to be honest with you. But this whole IR stunt, I think it makes both the Cardinals and Kyler look bad, especially if he's coming off a practice where he's, you know, taking reps right next to Jacoby Brissett. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it makes the Cardinals look bad.
Yeah.
Because especially Jonathan Gannon, just so far, is just very wishy-washy.
Yeah.
I mean, a Monday night, right after the game, they beat the Cowboys. He said there's no change at quarterback,
mm-hmm.
right? And then it comes out Tuesday, Jacoby starting. No no comment about the injury, right? Yeah. It was that, hey, Jacoby, changed my mind, Jacoby Brissett is going to be our starting quarterback, right? And so they're like, oh, good for him. He finally made the right choice. But then right. It's like, oh, well, no, it's because that Kyler's still hurt.
Yeah.
So it's like, dude, which is it? Like
yeah.
you said, you got to just make a decision, come out, say it with your chest, and just own it.
Yeah.
And I think that Kyler will get a starting job somewhere. I firmly believe that. There are too many, I mean,
QB needy
teams, and he has a ton of talent. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you can now, I think it's fair to say he's injury prone.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say this, you know, he's now been through two coaching staffs. I think that's all very fair.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, he's a freak athlete. He's a Heisman winner. He's a number one overall pick. He's a mobile quarterback, which seems like that's where everybody wants to go this day and age, is the mobile quarterback.
Right.
The dude can play. I don't want him. I don't think he's a leader. As a Jets fan, I was telling you right before we started, I'm seeing all sorts of rumors that the Jets are a team to watch for him mm-hmm. to trade, and I do not want him.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a leader. His body language sucks 95% of the time.
Yep.
Looks like he wants to go cry in a corner rather than you know, be a leader of the team like you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want him. But I think, no doubt in my mind, somebody will take a chance on him.
Right. And it's going to be so interesting on what team does, because I feel like as soon as this happens, like the move happens where Kyler gets traded or released or whatever, all of a sudden you're going to hear teammates from the locker room. And it's media is going to take it up 120 degrees on that thing where Kyler teammates didn't want Kyler on the team anymore. So something nonsensical that, you know, hasn't been reported on yet. But I just cannot. I don't know what team would take a chance on Kyler to be their starter. But obviously, like as you said, there's too many QB needy teams for that not to, you know, remain a possibility. But I just can't. Even if Kyler goes on to another team, I just cannot sell myself on thinking that team instantly becomes some sort of contender with Kyler Murray as their quarterback. I just can't do it. But he signed through 27, so he's got a while. He's got a contract on there, and he's got a club option for 28. So that, I mean, he's locked up. I'm not exactly sure where the Cardinals are going to go with it. If you can get like a second, third,
I think they'll get a second.
Second day.
I think they'll at least get a second. It wouldn't surprise me if they get a one, honestly.
Really?
Because a franchise quarterback, which a lot of people, I'm telling you, a lot of people are going to think that he is.
Mm.
A lot of people are going to say, you know, he needs a new situation, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Would not surprise me if they get a high pick. The contract, I think, is going to be the tough part, because he's owed a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to, I feel like the Cardinals are definitely going to have to take on some money in some sort of capacity there to even get some sort of a high value off of him. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up.
Yeah, agreed. Hope it's not with the Jets. All right, so I'll kick it off on my end. We had some very surprising, at least it was surprising to me, injury news today, or an injury update.
Mm.
They kind of caught me off guard.
Mm-hmm.
So Joe Burrow's practice window was officially open today, which I think is a big deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody, was it week two? He had apparently the worst case of turf toe ever, had to have surgery. And the timetable was optimistically the middle of December.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of people were saying, like, look, with this injury, this type of surgery, hit them saying December is incredibly optimistic, almost inferring it like he's done. He's not coming back this year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you get the notice today that they open his practice window, which means he has 21 days to practice and ramp up before they officially have to make the decision. Either we're adding him to the 53-man roster and he can play, or I think if they don't do it, he's done for the season.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's how the IR works. Once you open the window, you have 21 days, and it's either you add him or you don't.
Right.
Now, to me, they would not be doing it this early if he wasn't ready to come back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they just wait another week or two to open that 21 days. So that, to me, is crazy and unexpected, because if you look at where the Bengals are at, and we talked about it last week, everything is right in front of them. They're 3-6, right? We know about the defense. That's the thing. And my next question to you in a minute is, does this even matter because of how bad the defense is? But they're 3-6. The Steelers lost last night, so they're 5-4, and the Ravens are 4-5.
Yeah.
And two out of the next 3 weeks, they play the Steelers this week, then they play the Patriots, then on Thanksgiving they play the Ravens.
Oof.
So it's right there, man.
Yeah.
It's right there. I feel like the NFC North just got even more interesting.
Yeah.
So their next three games, I just talked about it, but so they're at the Steelers this week. Mm-hmm. They're home to the Patriots next week. They're at the Ravens on Thanksgiving. That's my bet for when he comes back. But at minimum, so the 21 days would be over after that game, right? Or the 3 weeks would be over after that game. So at minimum, if they declare he's ready to come back, he's playing December 7th at the Bills.
Mm, that's a tough stretch. And let me say that real quick.
It is a tough stretch.
Two division you know, opponents, and then with the
Patriots sandwiched in there, and then the Bills,
and the Bills afterwards. Ooh.
So at minimum, you got to assume that he's going to be playing December 7th at the Bills. I really kind of feel like he'll play. I don't know why, but the game that jumps out to me is Thanksgiving,
right?
Baltimore, just because it's a divisional game. So I don't know. I think it literally opens up the division, and I just wonder, can the defense get it together? Were they able to figure something out on the bye week,
right,
to where they come in this week and they maybe, who knows, man? I mean, it might sound ridiculous, but maybe even the fact that he's practicing and is close could give them that boost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I'm really curious to see what happens with this division, because I feel like if he comes back and they're able to win, let's just say two out of their next three, I think it's wide open for him.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest with you. It feels like such a desperation move by the Bengals because, like you said, it is right there for them for the taking. I mean, their offense is – Joe Flacco has been rejuvenated, I feel like, with Jamar Chase as his receiver, top receiver there, T. Higgins. With that whole receiving core, their offense is the limit right now. It's just been their defense has been so atrocious. It just feels like such a desperation move right now with Joe Burrow. I mean, obviously you hope he's when he does come back, he is obviously healthy and it doesn't become, you know, back to square one with the turf toe. But yeah, the Ravens game makes a lot of sense, especially if they win against Pittsburgh. I mean, if they split the Patriots and Pittsburgh, you know, try to get a little momentum with against Baltimore, a division rival right there. I mean, still, you're 3-6. That's a mighty mountain to climb.
Yeah, but do you remember them last year? What their record was? They were like 2-7,
yeah,
or 2-8, or something like that. And it came down to the last week of the season.
Yeah.
So they have to have that belief, like, look, we did it last year, we could do it again.
Right.
Not that I agree,
right,
but I'm just saying from their perspective, it wouldn't shock me if that's where they're at.
Right. I mean, how often or how much can you rely on Joe Burrow coming off an injury, though? I just don't know if I would put all my hopes and dreams on that one. I mean, that's your franchise quarterback. Are you really going to, you know, put him back throw him into the fire again with that offensive line? I mean, Joe Flacco is a veteran. He knows how to maneuver around issues with the offensive line. Obviously, Joe Burrow is no slouch on it either, but I mean, I just don't know. it just makes me nervous, to be honest with you. As a fan of Joe Burrow and a fan of everything he brings to the table, I just don't want to see another Andrew Luck situation, to be honest with you, where, you know, they kind of force his hand to retire or something, step away from the game. But I understand the move from some certain perspective, especially with how weak the AFC North has been this year. But I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I feel like it's Lamar Jackson's division to win
100%
at this point. But I mean, only being a game behind the Ravens, I understand Cincinnati's desperation and desire to kind of take advantage of a low year for the division. But at the same time, I just cannot. I can't wrap my head around it right now, to be honest.
I think it's realistic to say that 9-8 could win you this division.
Ugh.
9-8, 10-7. 10-7 for sure.
10-7 for
but
sure.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, the Ravens, who we both think are going to end up winning the division, is 4-5 right now.
Yeah.
So that means to get to 9-8, they got to go 5-3.
5-3.
That's not easy, you know. I mean, they got to play the Jets. no, but I mean, going 5-3 over their last 9 games, uh-huh, over their last 8 games is not a guarantee,
right?
5-3 or 6-2 to get to 9-10-7,
right?
So that to me seems very difficult.
Yeah, no, that's a tight window,
and they still have to play. The Ravens and Bengals haven't played each other at all yet, so they got to play twice out of those 8 games or 9 games, whatever it is. So I don't know. I think it's right there for the taking. I would like to believe that the Bengals wouldn't be doing this. Like I said, they still had 3, 4, 5 weeks to even pull the trigger on opening that 21-day window.
Right.
So for them to do it now, you have to think that he's in a good spot.
Yeah.
I mean, they already said he's out Sunday, right? He's not playing at Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So does he come back against New England? Probably. I don't see that. Does he come back? You know, who knows? But I would like to think that they're not just throwing him out there when he's not in good shape.
I hope so.
And I'd like to think that Burrow wouldn't allow them to do that, you know?
Yeah.
I know he's a competitor
so
at the end of the day,
that's
but,
the thing.
You know, you're
I feel like Burrow sees the same thing we're seeing, and that's an opportunity to sneak into the playoffs via the divisional route. So I mean, if he's pushing for this, I mean, hats off to him for being a competitor. But at the same time, I mean, you got to watch for your health, my man.
Yeah.
You've kind of come to be known as a little injury prone, unfortunately.
Oh, 100%. You have to say that about him now.
Unfortunately, that's the truth. But I mean, I get the fire inside of you, but at the same time, pack it up until you're healthy, my man. Yeah. And maybe they can make some upgrades on the offensive line and go into the offseason and then retry next year. But, yeah, just don't try to waste your career on an opportunity like this.
Yeah, I mean, they were my pick, my preseason pick to win the division. No. So I'm excited about this to potentially still have a shot at that. But right. We'll see what happens. And then my next one is just the Rams are a wagon. The Rams are the best team in the NFC.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's a hot take. I mean, they are so good right now. I think that I was very, very impressed watching that game yesterday. The Niners already beat them once, right? Robert Saleh has a phenomenal defense, and Matt Stafford literally cut through that defense like hot butter.
Yeah.
I mean, 42-26, Stafford had four touchdowns again. He's got 13 touchdowns his last three games.
No interceptions.
No interceptions.
Nope.
Kyren Williams ran for two. I mean, they just, there's no stopping this offense right now.
Yeah, no.
And I could not be more impressed with how they look.
Yeah, no. I mean, that dual-headed running back situation with Kyren Williams and the other running back escapes me.
Blake Corum. I don't know his first name. I'm pretty sure it's Blake. Yeah. Kind of annoying me, by the way, as a Kyren Williams fantasy owner.
Vulturing.
Dude. Get him off the field.
Get him off the field. You don't need no dual.
Kyren Williams. Okay?
No dual-headed running back situation. Get him out of here. Well, yeah, I mean, Stafford, I mean, he's aging like fine wine right now. I mean, this might be his best, season of his career. There's just no avoiding the fact that this offense is looking as great as, you know, prime Detroit Lions Matt Stafford with Calvin Johnson, to be honest with you. Puka Nacua has solidified himself as a top, you know, three, top two receiver. And the way Sean McVay coaches at readies his team regardless of the opponent, I feel like there's just no underestimating this team right now. They are definitely up there in terms of NFC threats. Obviously, you have Detroit who has been prone to have a letdown game here and there, but I feel like they always regain focus pretty quickly. Eagles, obviously, reigning Super Bowl champions, they're there. And then you have some wild cards like the Tampa Bay Bucks or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, the Rams just, I feel like they're just, and this might be a scenario where they peak too soon. Unfortunately, I hope it's not the case, because I feel like I haven't really seen any sort of weakness or letdown.
They have their defense is just as good.
Yeah,
their defense plays complementary football. They fly around. Jared Verse is a stud, stud linebacker. He blocked a kick yesterday. They're
loaded in the right positions.
Correct.
All
that's a
around.
Great way to put it.
Yeah, and I mean, there's just no denying it.
They're
to
fun
be
to
honest.
Watch.
Yeah.
They're really fun as a casual fan.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of whoever they're playing, you got to be just pulling your hair out of your head.
Yeah.
Because there's no stopping them.
Yeah. You try to find the superlatives to define the Rams, and honestly, it escapes me because they're just that.
They're very,
impressive.
Very, very good.
Yep.
I could not be more excited to watch Rams Seahawks on Sunday,
because Seahawks
they're right there. They got the same record. They bolt raced the Cardinals on Sunday.
I feel like they're mirror images of each other.
They are. Yeah. They are. They have a great offense. I think the Rams are a little bit more consistent.
Yeah.
On offense, like Darnold had a couple turnovers on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a stud receiver in Smith and Jigba. Mm-hmm. Their defense, I would argue that Seattle's defense is better than the Rams' defense. Seattle's defense flies around. Holy crap.
Yeah, and they're special teams
as
well.
They are fast, yes.
Yep.
Sneak peek, that's one of our games of the week this week. I'm stoked to watch that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else I can say about it. Honestly, they're just a really, really good football team.
Yeah, agreed.
Yep.
All right, overreactions.
Overreactions.
What do you got this week?
So, as we were talking about Kyler Murray in our top stories, it's time to move on from another quarterback, and that's Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence. I think it's time to say sayonara, to be honest with you. I mean,
you have his stat line from this week?
13 for 23, 158 yards, one TD, one interception.
That's bad.
He took five sacks, and he had a 74.2 rating.
I mean, I will say Houston has a very underrated defense. Their defense is downright dominant.
Yeah.
But Trevor Lawrence just ain't it, man.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he's 16th in terms of yards in quarterback position. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's right, and that's mid. That's right. That's mid.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So, I mean, obviously you have expectations as number one drafted overall quarterback prospect, just like Kyler Murray was. I mean, this is his, what, second, third coaching staff as well, Urban Meyer, and then
Doug Peterson,
and now Cohen.
Cohen, yeah.
So, I mean, at some point, if you're Jacksonville as well, obviously you paid him the money, but I think this might be a Kyler Murray situation where it's time to bid adieu. And honestly, Trevor Lawrence might garner a little bit more attention than Kyler Murray, to be honest with you.
So that was the other name that I couldn't remember when I was telling you that, like, the Jets are rumored. Oh, the Jets are rumored to being, they're going to use their picks they got from the trade deadline to acquire a veteran quarterback. And okay. I told you, I said the names that are floating around from veteran quarterbacks who might realistically be available are Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard Joe Burrow. I don't buy that. I don't think that he's available. I mean, you'd literally have to trade all five number
Cincinnati
one picks.
Cincinnati might burn the whole city down.
Correct. So I don't think that's realistic. But the other name that you just reminded me was Trevor Lawrence.
Ah, okay.
So I don't think that's an overreaction at all. I don't know what. He looked so good his first year.
Yeah.
And it's just, or second year, but first year with Doug Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been, it's been mid. Since then, it's a perfect way to describe
him. Yeah, there's just no, you know, there's nothing we can really say about Trevor Lawrence. He doesn't really do anything specialized, to be honest. He'll make a nice throw here and there, but I mean that's to be expected from a quarterback at this level.
Yeah.
I mean,
and so this game on Sunday was not all on him. I mean, he's a quarterback, so his stat line is less than impressive, to say the least. But this is a game that they had to win.
Yeah.
I mean, you're playing Houston Texans, a division rival, with their backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did you lose the game, you were outscored 26-0 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That is a complete and utter meltdown.
Yeah, they were up 20-10.
And so now, you know, Jacksonville's sitting there at 5-4. Houston's right behind them at 4-5.
Yeah.
That game, I told you before the show, I truly believe when, you know, we're sitting here week 17, week 18, that tiebreaker scenario is potentially going to play a huge role.
Yeah.
So I was shocked that they let this game slip away when CJ Stroud didn't even play.
Yeah. He's on concussion protocol. So, I mean, this is the type of game, especially with that lead 29-10, where as a leader and a QB of your team, you lead your team into, you know, let's step on the throat of a divisional rival with their backup quarterback, who at that point wasn't playing really well. I mean, you're up 29-10 going into the fourth quarter. You don't even have to do much at that point, you know, but make the throws that you need to make.
Just get a couple first downs.
Yeah, a couple first downs. Run out the clock. Be a game manager. I mean, 158 yards. I mean, that's also acceptable to me, to be honest with you. That's honestly just low for a guy of his caliber and getting paid the amount of money that he is. I mean, that puts him for the season 10 TDs and 7 INTs. So it's not like he's blowing the world on fire. And honestly, Trevor Lawrence, I feel like, has been a disappointment.
Big one. Talk about not
prospect.
Playing up to your contract.
Right.
I mean, he was the most recent that I can think of. You know, the guy where people were using the adjective generational.
Yeah.
Right behind Andrew Luck. Yep. It was Andrew Luck. You know, talked about him for a few years, and then it was Trevor Lawrence.
Yep. Right? Can't miss prospect.
Can't miss prospect. You got to get him.
Yep.
And it just, he just has not been that way.
Yeah. No, I don't know if it's confidence or something, but I feel like a change of scenery would do him wonders.
That's a good one. That's a good one to watch and monitor. Oh. I like that one a lot.
Nice. Okay.
What else you got? Anything?
That's all I had. I just had the one.
So I'll get to mine real quick or in a minute, but I'm going to detour because I wrote something down I didn't tell you I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like a mid-year contender or pretender.
Oh.
With a couple teams that like truly are annoying me.
okay.
And Jacksonville was one of them.
A pretender.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
So they're right now, if the season were to end, I mean, I know we're only week 10, but they would be the 7th seed.
Yeah, pretender.
They'd be in the playoffs by virtue of, I think, a tiebreaker over Kansas City. So you think they're a pretender?
Yeah, who are they playing? Who are they facing that hypothetical scenario? Who's the two-seed right now?
So they would be the two-seed? That's a great question. I want to say it's...
Because I think it goes Indy and then maybe Denver?
Playoffs. It's Indy and then Denver. Oh, they'd get waxed by Denver.
Oh, yeah. Trevor Lawrence would have no idea what to do with that defense.
Yeah.
Yep. No, thank you.
Okay. Other one that I have a couple, but the Bears.
Pretender.
You think so?
Yeah.
Six and three.
Caleb Williams has shown, you know, a knack to lead some game-winning drives, and I think their defense is can be really good at times. I feel like they sometimes have a lax in you know, focus. I'm just not as convinced that Caleb Williams can do the same during the playoffs during against a playoff caliber defense, to be honest with you. I think that has yet to be seen, but I'm going pretender right now.
Okay. Yep. All right. So my overreaction is that the Broncos are the worst playoff team that there is right now. I think they're going to go one and done in the playoffs.
Ooh.
Golly, watching that game on Thursday was I felt like I should have been paid to watch that game. That was horrible.
Yeah.
They won, what was it, 10-7?
10-7.
Over the Raiders.
The Raiders.
So, I mean, they have the one impressive win over Philly.
Philly.
Right? Comeback fashion.
Yep.
But, I mean, here's their wins. A one-score win over the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
A one-point loss to the Colts. Okay. They blew out the Bengals. Congratulations. A one-score win over the Eagles, two-point win over the Jets, one-point win over the Giants, and then a one-point win over the Texans. One-score win over the Texans, one-score win over the Raiders. Okay. The only games that haven't been close, they blew out the Cowboys, and they blew out the Bengals. So I think I saw the funniest comparison, and only people that play fantasy football will understand this.
Mm-hmm.
It was like when the second place team has the fewest points scored against them. Like, that's basically the comparison. Like, they have a great defense, right? So nobody scores on them, but their offense is just not good.
Yeah, those two blowouts were the Bengals and the Cowboys, two of the worst defenses in the
NFL.
The two
worst defense. Literally one and two.
Yep.
Yeah.
The worst defense in the NFL. So
Bo Nix has been so inconsistent. Cortland Sutton has fallen off the face of the planet. Evan Engram, who I thought was going to be like a Swiss Army knife type weapon for them this year, has been non-existent. I mean, it's painful to watch.
Yeah, talk about playing to your the level of your competition. I feel like every 100%, time for Denver,
100%.
I mean,
and not only that, real quick, but how many of those were fourth quarter comebacks?
Yeah,
the Texans, the Giants, the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not a comeback, but it was
close. Back and,
actually, yeah, no, Jets were winning in the fourth quarter.
Were they?
Yes, they were.
Okay,
Eagles.
Yep.
So that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of, you know, one score have to come back in the fourth quarter situations there. So I've been telling you for a few weeks I'm not in on the Broncos.
Right.
Dude, Thursday just did it for me. I was actually angry watching that
game.
Time they would punt they punt the ball. Bo Nix looked lost.
Mm.
He literally looked lost against the Raiders defense.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start with that, to be honest with you. Lack of focus, probably. I mean, Sean Payton is you know, as a Saints fan, I know Sean Payton quite well. I mean, this is the sort of – the Raiders is the sort of team I know Sean Payton can blow out, you know, in his sleep. So I'm not sure what exactly is going on with the philosophy there in terms of the offense for Denver. I mean, they have the capabilities to really have a really good offense. Obviously, as you mentioned, Cortland Sutton, their number one receiver, has kind of been, you know,
non-existent from a fantasy perspective. Yeah, I can tell you that
he's been relegated to, you know, mop-up duty almost. I think Franklin has been more of the number one receiver than anything. J.K. Dobbins has been okay. I don't think their running game has been anything to write home about, to be honest with you. But overall, there's just seems to be a lack of consistency or focus on in terms of what exactly your identity is going to be if you're Denver. I feel like a lot of those wins are definitely attributed to their defense. But, I mean, when your defense holds and then you're kind of forced to make the comeback, and so you're kind of forced to throw the ball and not really have to decide whether you're running the ball or doing this or that, and you're running 2-minute drill anyway, I feel like that's where they shine the most. And with Bo Nix, I feel like that's kind of what he's used to, especially when his college days in Oregon, running kind of a fast tempo offense. And maybe that's where Sean Payton needs to maybe focus his efforts a little bit more. Maybe relying a little bit more on a 2-minute drill here and there for that offense. But right now, what they're doing, I just trying to be some sort of traditional offense just does not seem to be working in Denver's favor.
Yeah, I know they have a 1-game lead on the Chargers for the division. Mm-hmm. I fully expect that to flip flop. I really do. The way the Chargers are playing, they still got to play the Broncos. The Broncos still have to play the Chargers one more time. Mm-hmm. Chargers already beat them.
Yep.
They got to play the Chiefs twice.
Mm-hmm.
Still. They play them this week.
This week.
And then they still got the Raiders one more time, which apparently is a tough game.
Right.
And then they got teams like Green Bay. So I think the end of the day, I would be really surprised if they continue to play this way, that the Chargers won't be on top of the division at the end of the season.
Yeah, no, that's a tough schedule. And, I mean, this can also, you know, lead the Chiefs to overtaking them, and all of a sudden Denver's fighting for a wild card spot, and who knows where that ends up. But, I mean, hey, too, I feel like you're kind of secured at that point.
Yeah, they are. They're going to make the playoffs. It's just a matter of
being one and done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be unfortunate.
All right.
Nope.
So we're going to do a new segment that we're going to continue through the remainder of the regular season. Basically MVP watch. So every time we post something about MVP or a reel or it gets a lot of conversation.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me how many different opinions there are, on how people view the MVP.
Yeah.
So we're each going to give our 1 through 3, every week. We should start with number 3.
Three.
Yeah, and work our way up to number 1.
Okay, sounds good to me.
And then we'll just talk about it. Next week, it could flip-flop. It could stay the same. It could be very quick. Who knows?
Right.
But I think now is a really good time because we talked about last week how many different legit MVP candidates there are. Mm-hmm. After this week, I feel like maybe some of them rose above the other. And, you know, we'll kind of just go back and forth. But I'll let you kick it off.
Okay. So number 3, I got your boy, Drake May. So,
okay.
Yep. I mean, I looked at a stat, 71.7% completion percentage, second in the league.
Do you have his yards per attempt?
I don't know. I have his yards
I'm telling you, that's not very high.
Well, I mean, he has 2,555 yards, which is third in the league. So,
is it really?
Yep. So he's behind, I feel like, Jared Goff and Herbert, I believe, in that category. So, yeah, he's got more yards than even Stafford. So there's that, and then 19 TDs is fourth in the league, 5 interceptions. He's taking care of the ball. But Drake May, I feel like this can be the traditional argument of best quarterback on the best team if they end up winning that division. I mean, they've been impressive. Obviously, they were very much tested against the Tampa Bay Bucks.
First real test of the season, I would say.
Yep. Kind of like a wild card NFC contender, the Tampa Bay Bucks are, especially in Tampa Bay. That was pretty impressive to go out there. I mean,
really shut me up.
Yeah. I mean, 16 for 31 yesterday. He wasn't necessarily lighting the world on fire with his statistics, but he made the throws that he needed to. Made some long touchdown pass. To me, Drake May has been consistent enough to warrant the MVP conversation. But for me to win it outright, or any sort of unanimous,
they
got to
win the division.
Yeah. It starts with winning the division. I mean, obviously they took a big step with, Buffalo losing to Miami yesterday, but I mean, the Patriots right now, they're sitting pretty right now. And I like Drake May's, chances to really solidify the MVP case, but as of right now, I have him at 3rd.
And then in comes the vaunted Jets defense on Thursday night
to spike it up even more. He might be sitting number 1 after this.
All right. What's next?
And then number 2, I got Stafford.
Okay.
So this is where I do got Stafford, 67.1% completion percentage. That's 12th. And then he's got 2,427 yards, which is 4th, right behind Drake May. But this is where he really shines, which is 25 TDs, which is 1st, and only 2 interceptions. So that is phenomenal.
That's crazy.
That is an incredibly efficient year to have. It kind of reminds me of the 2011 year that Aaron Rodgers had. I can't remember his statistics right off the board, but I knew his QBR was off the chains, and kind of set back Drew Brees because that was a big Drew Brees year. And I wanted Drew Brees to win an MVP, obviously, for biased reasons. But yeah. Aaron Rodgers took it for his efficiency. And, I mean, at 25-2, there's just nowhere else to really go, to be honest with you. That's just pretty impressive. And, I mean, as we talk about best QB on the best team, they might be it, to be honest with you. I mean, they're no slouch at, what, 7-2 right now? Yeah. You know, tied for the lead in the NFC West. That in a mighty difficult division. Yeah, Matthew Stafford deserves his flowers for that one. And then number one, Jonathan Taylor.
Okay.
Obviously, we talk about it being a QB award, but honestly, this is something. Jonathan Taylor, I got home from work to watch that overtime period.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Taylor just you know, led that drive. Daniel Jones had that one good touch pass to Tyler Warren to really gain a chunk yard, but I mean, in the red zone, Jonathan Taylor, you knew they were going to run the ball, trying to run out the clock or set themselves up for a field goal, and they just fed it to Jonathan Taylor, and he just, you know, danced around and ended up scoring untouched.
I mean, Taylor won them that game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could say that that he had the 80-some-odd-yard touchdown run. He had three total touchdowns?
Three TDs.
240-some-odd yards. I mean, he won that game for them on a day where, you know, Falcons defense came to play. It was tight for a very long time. And
yeah,
so I could see it.
Version of the Falcons showed up for this game.
Correct.
I mean, he's got a 1,139 yards rushing, and that's like over 200 yards over the second place player, and that's I believe James Cook. So and he has 17 total touchdowns, 15 golly, rushing, two receiving. So my fantasy team is very happy with that. So Jonathan Taylor has been my MVP so far.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and a lot of people are saying that. A lot of people have him number one right now. So number three for me is Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
You just really kind of blew my mind with Drake May's stats. I'm not going to lie to you.
Right.
You really did, because I had that game on as part of my multi-view that I was watching yesterday.
Okay.
And I was watching the Jets mostly, admittedly. So, but I watched a little bit of it, and he had the really nice pass.
Yeah.
That was, I want to say it was like a 20-yard pass, 20, 30-yard pass, but it was literally a touch pass right over the defense. And then I can't remember the guy's name, but he took it like 80 yards.
Kyle Williams.
Thank you. So, but that was really all I saw from him. Trevion Henderson had three total touchdowns.
Yeah.
Or two total touchdowns, excuse me, broke two really long ones. I mean, he didn't make the big mistake against a really good Bucs defense.
Yeah.
So I guess there's that. But I was watching out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, he's really, again, my argument again is like, he's really not doing that much.
Uh-huh.
But the stats tell me otherwise. So right. I guess I need to pay more attention. Truthfully, I'm very excited to watch him on Thursday against the Jets. I will fully, you know, be paying attention to how he looks, and maybe I will come away with a very different opinion.
Yeah.
But right now, Baker's third for me. You know, they came away with a loss on yesterday, which I was very surprised about. But I still make the argument that without you take Baker Mayfield out of that offense, and the Bucs are a completely different team. All the injuries they've had, Bucky Irving, Godwin, Mike Evans.
Yep.
Take your pick, man. I mean, they've been decimated with injuries, and Baker has still just plugged away and found a way to get results.
Yeah.
So he's number three for me right now. Jonathan Taylor I had at number two.
Okay.
And I had Stafford one.
Oh, so we switched to two.
And this is why I love the conversation. You know, somebody commented, shout out to our boy Joe Rogers. he commented on our reel that we put out about, you know, all the different MVP candidates, and he basically was like, it has to be Taylor.
Right.
Right. And a lot of people are saying that, and I get that. The argument I made back was, you know, take the two both out of their offense. The Colts have a great offensive scheme, and they have a great offensive line. Could they still find an adequate running back to not do what Taylor does, but to still put up good numbers to keep that offense going? I think they probably could, where the way that Stafford is playing is otherworldly as far as quarterback. No one's doing what he's doing from a quarterback perspective right now. So I don't know. I think and he kind of made the same argument against Stafford. He's like, look, they have Puka, they have Davante Adams, they have Kyren Williams. Like, you know, with McVay, he made the argument basically that it's plug and play.
Yeah.
Which I get that. But I don't know. I for me right now it's Stafford, and it's got, but I could see it, right? I could see how you would say Taylor.
Yeah, I think
there's an argument to be made that running backs, we always say running backs are interchangeable.
Yeah, for me, like, the heart wants the running back to get the recognition that he deserves. I mean, it always feels like the quarterback gets the MVP and then the offensive player gets the offensive player of the year award. But honestly, I feel like Taylor's done so much for that team. And even if you switch them out for some league average running back, honestly, are they sitting at 8-2 right now? I honestly don't think so. I think maybe 6-4 if they have an average running. I mean, Jonathan Taylor, 17 TDs. That's production you're not going to get from just any run of the mill running back. That's legitimate production. And the way he runs, especially behind that offensive line, I feel like his sort of style of running back situation and the offensive line, the way it blocks, I feel like it all schematically looks very fluid. Kind of reminds me of the Le'Veon Bell days in Pittsburgh, where he would just wait and then burst through a hole as soon as Pittsburgh creates it. It was just really fun to watch during that overtime session how Jonathan Taylor runs the football. To me, he just has that knack and that running back gene running through his veins that I feel like not a lot of running backs have right now. I think maybe McCaffrey might be the only other one that I would really put up there in terms of
James Cook kind of does it too. He's kind of very patient. He dances around a little bit, but yeah.
Taylor just looks like, you know, like water just going back and forth. Like it's motion, poetry in motion, to be honest with you. I was impressed. But yeah, Stafford is having a QB season for the ages right now. So it's a toss-up right now, but I would love to give it to Jonathan Taylor right now.
I'll be really curious to see how it all shakes out. And if I don't want to say this is going to sound bad, it's going to sound like I'm taking credit from him, but it's not what I'm doing. Like if it comes right down to it and we're having the same conversation that we had last year about Saquon.
Yeah.
And do writers just get so sick of, oh, it's a QB award, that they give it to Taylor this year, right? Because in my opinion, if Saquon didn't win it last year, there's no non-quarterback that's going to win it ever.
Yeah. Well,
because Saquon had about as good of a season as – he set the damn record, the rushing record.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he had about as good of a season as you're ever going to have from a non-quarterback, and he didn't win MVP.
Yeah.
So, does the narrative become, well, we have to – pick somebody who's not a quarterback so that doesn't become the case. I don't know. But for me, that's where I fall back on, like, dude, if Saquon didn't win it last year, sorry, buddy. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor, I love you. You're a beast. Got nothing against him. Love watching him play. I just think that it's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how close Jonathan Taylor gets to, like, LaDainian Tomlinson's TD record.
Yeah,
Or maybe
if that is within reach.
Yeah, or maybe if he even breaks it. I feel like if he breaks it, I feel like that's... I feel like the writers don't even have a choice at that point. I feel like because you gave LT the MVP that year, Jonathan Taylor, he's gotta almost have it at that point. But yeah, I mean, if Stafford keeps this up and has some sort of ridiculous, 40 touchdown and five or less interceptions, that is going to be a conversation for the ages. I honestly wouldn't even know where to lean, to be honest with you. That's rough.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be outrageous to say that the Rams could end up with the number one seed.
Yeah.
So if that happens,
both number one seeds,
quarterbacks
right,
playing like that. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
We'll see. But I love the conversation.
Yeah.
Because it seems like you could talk to five different people and get five different answers on how they view the MVP.
Yeah.
So we're going to do this every week from now on. And the list could stay the same. It could change. We could add people. Who knows?
Yeah.
But we'll touch on it at least briefly every single week until we finish out the regular season.
Perfect.
So, all right. We will jump into power rankings.
Okay.
What do you got?
So I got the Colts still at one. They won, so there wasn't much movement there. I mean, I feel like I said, the good Falcons team showed up over in what, Dublin? Where they play?
Germany. You had the Colts number one last week, even after coming off of a loss?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they lost. I think every team has a dud once or twice a year, and I feel like that was just theirs against the Steelers. Okay. I think it just happened to be. I mean they traded for Sauce Gardner, so
yeah, we need to talk about that.
Yeah, I feel like that also catapults them a little bit, shores up that defense a little bit. So I like where the Colts are at right now. Number two, I had the Pats at number two last week, so I had the Pats number two again this week. So 8-2, same record as the Colts. So I mean, they've been improving every week, and to really be tested by the Bucs and come out on top victorious, I like where they're at as well. Number three, I had a little bit of a head scratcher with what to do here, because I had the Bucs last week at number three, yeah. But I didn't want to move up the Broncos, to be honest with you, after the performance that they put on Thursday night. And it was down to the Rams or the Seahawks, but I put the Seahawks at three.
Ahead of the Rams. Okay.
And I have the Rams at four.
Okay.
So they're literally neck and neck. If you switch them around, I wouldn't be surprised. Number five, even after a win, I dropped them down a spot in the Broncos.
Okay.
But 8-2 record. It is what it is. You're winning the games in any fashion. I mean, they don't ask how, they ask how many. And this is one of those cases for the Broncos that are 8-2.
All right.
Yep.
So I got the Rams number one.
Okay.
I'm all in on the Rams.
All in on the Rams.
I had Tampa, number one last week. They obviously lost, so they actually completely fell off the top five. So
way
they're gone.
Go.
They're
gone. Way to go, champ.
They're done. So number one, Rams. Number two, I have Seattle right behind them.
Ooh.
So I think, honestly, I do think that those are the two best teams in the NFC right now.
Right.
Number three, I got the Colts. Best team in the AFC, I would say, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely ahead of the Broncos. Aren't even in the conversation for me.
Yeah.
Not even on top five. So four and five, I really struggled with, kind of similarly, but I kind of went off who is playing the best right now. And so for me, four was Detroit. Detroit's playing really well. I think we're not talking enough. We didn't even talk about it at all. But if it continues, we need to talk about the decision that Dan Campbell made to call the plays.
Yeah.
Because that could be a coach of the year type call that he took the play calling duties from their offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And they were a well-oiled machine yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a heartbeat to the team and knows how to conduct, like
I love everything about it.
He's a conductor and he knows exactly what to do with that offense. And he's built this from the ground up, to be honest with you. And Dan Campbell, I mean, you think you've seen lunatic plays with Ben Johnson in Chicago. I feel like Dan Campbell's about to, rewrite everything.
And it's funny because, they talked about it during the game yesterday, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Because maybe it's just me, but, you look at Campbell and you think defense, right? You think a defensive background, correct? Yep. But he was a tight end. So he has an offensive background. So yep. I had to remind him, I'm like, this dude's calling offensive plays? Like, this is going to be a disaster. But then I had to remind myself that he played tight end.
Matt Patricia.
Exactly right. Oh, God, that guy.
Man.
But, yeah, so that – I'm curious to see how that shakes out if it continues. He downplayed it big time, was like, hey, just a change of pace, wanted to throw something different out there,
yeah.
Get a second set of eyes on the plays, blah, blah, blah. Very, downplayed it, very respectful of their offensive coordinator.
Right.
But that was, I thought that was huge.
Yeah.
And it showed. They put up, what was it, 44 points, yep, over Washington. So Detroit number four. I got the Chargers number five.
Chargers.
So big win over Pittsburgh last night. They're sitting a game behind Denver. They have the recipe. They can run the ball. They have a great defense. They have a quarterback who can get it done. I'm big on the Chargers right now.
I always want to be big on the Chargers, but I feel like whenever they sucker me in, they do something to blow me out the water, and then I'm like, oh God, it's the Chargers again, all over again. Yeah. I don't know what the Chargers, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we'll see. But the big win, I thought the impressive win last night. They made Aaron Rodgers look not good.
Yeah.
So there's that. All right. So we will finish up with our picks. Once again, dude, I am horrible. So we did two game of the weeks last week.
Yeah.
If you remember, we had two good matchups. We're actually going to do it again this week, but I went 1-3. So just to give everybody a lovely reminder.
Absolutely.
I picked, my lock was Denver over the Raiders -8.5.
Oof.
Did not cover the spread. They won, but did not cover.
Right.
My upset, I'm done picking the Jags.
Remember
how you wanted to kill Carolina the first couple weeks?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about the Jags right now. 2 weeks in a row, I've picked them, and they have found ways to just blow it for me.
Right.
So, Texans, 2 weeks in a row, man. They freaking barely beat the Raiders by 1 point, and then this week they just blow it in epic fashion. It's ridiculous. It's literally ridiculous the way that I'm losing these games and these picks. So the Texans were favored by 1.5. Obviously they pulled it out at the end. I took the Bucs over the Patriots in one of our game of the weeks.
Yeah.
Patriots really surprised me there. Yeah. And then I took the Rams over the Niners. So that was the one that I got right.
Okay. So as for me, I went 3-1. Hold your applause, please, Nick. So my lock, I had the Lions over the Commanders at 8.5 spread, and they beat them by 22, so that was well covered. My upset, I had the Browns over the Jets, unfortunately. Yeah, you got the last laugh on
J-E-T-S.
That one.
J-E-T-S.
That's right.
Can't go 10-7 unless you start 0-7.
I've never heard of that, but sure, we'll roll with it. Yeah. The math is mathing on that one. Yep. And then game of the week, I picked the Rams and the Patriots to beat the respective foes. Okay. And the Niners and the Bucks. So,
gosh, so the Jets spoiled your perfect
the
week.
The Jets.
Love that for me.
And honestly, I remember telling you after the show, I was like, I have a gut feeling the Saints are going to beat the Panthers.
Yeah, you did say that.
And I really wanted to go with it, but I was like, eh. I just wanted to, you know, be a little outside the box with you on that one. But it is what it is.
Yep.
But yeah,
you know what I just realized?
What?
Oh, this is gonna be so funny.
Oh no.
So my lock is the Chargers over the Jags. Dude, I swear to God, if the Jags win, I'm gonna lose my mind. I'm gonna lose my mind. So the Chargers are favored by 2.5 over the Jags.
Jags are gonna kick like a last second field goal.
I know.
Just to cut it to one.
Correct. Correct.
Not even to win. They're just going to do one.
I am going to lose it on here next week if I get that game wrong. I'm going to lose it. Like, I'm telling you right now. So that's my... I just realized that I picked against them again.
They just showed up
Dude,
randomly.
What the freak, man. So that's my lock. Chargers over the Jags. Anything but.
Yep.
My upset, I'm taking the Bengals over the Steelers.
Okay.
So I like... The Bengals coming off of a bye, the Steelers coming off of a loss.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Pittsburgh, but Bengals already beat them once.
Right.
And like I said, it might sound ridiculous, but I truly believe that even Burrow practicing is going to give them a boost. So I like the Bengals over the Steelers. Steelers favored by 5.5. Mm-hmm. And then our two game of the weeks. So we did the Rams over Seattle. Or the Rams at Seattle. I'm taking the Rams.
Okay.
I'm super, super excited to watch that game. It's actually in L.A. I said at Seattle. It's in L.A.
Yep.
And then Tampa and Buffalo. Tampa coming to Buffalo. I'm taking Tampa Bay.
You're taking Tampa Bay.
I'm taking Tampa Bay. Okay. I think that Buffalo has to figure some things out.
Yeah.
And I'm at the same time, I'm going to talk out both sides of my mouth. I'm not reading too much into this this Sunday, because the Miami is just that team for them that always plays them tough. And, and you know, it was a freaking monsoon in Miami. So they had 3 turnovers. It was rainy. It was messy. So I'm not reading too much into it. But at the same time, the storyline that we've talked about, the Bills receivers not being able to get separation, showed up again.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay has a very good, what I would even call exotic defense. With the way they blitz.
Yeah, with Todd Bowles.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I took Tampa Bay.
Okay. All right. Well, my lock, I got the Texans over the Titans, 7.5. I mean, Mills is kind of showing that he's capable of leading some sort of offensive.
Is he playing again?
I don't know if Mills is playing Mills is playing, or if it's Stroud coming off a concussion, I feel like they should more than handle the Titans. Titans are, what, 1-8? Right.
Correct.
Now?
Yeah. So. And Cam Ward is a bust.
Yeah.
side note, from a fantasy perspective, since Davis Mills has played, Nico Collins has been amazing.
Yeah.
The last week and a half when Stroud went out.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So love that for me.
Yeah. I feel like the Texans defense should more than handle Cam Ward and whatever the Titans put out in terms of offensive, identity. Then my upset, I got the Panthers over the Falcons. I mean, just talking about the Panthers.
How can anybody trust the Panthers? They are one of the most confusing teams.
How can anyone trust the Falcons?
Well, that's true. That's fair.
Now,
what's the spread there?
It's 3.5 for the Falcons.
Okay.
Even though they're 3-6 and the Panthers are 5-5.
Yeah.
It's a weird little thing there, but I mean, the Panthers already beat the Falcons and they trounced them. It was like 30-something to nothing. I think they shut them out. early in the year.
I feel like the Panthers, literally, if you look at their schedule, it's every other week.
No, now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure I picked the Falcons over the Panthers when they first played. And now I'm picking the exact opposite. Knowing my luck, it's going to be the Falcons over the Panthers at this one. But it is what it is. They're playing in Atlanta. But to me, I feel like the Panthers have more of a known identity. The Falcons just, I don't know.
They
can't
figure it out.
Yeah, they can't
figure out. And you've talked about this before with them. Like, they cannot figure out what they want to do on offense.
Yeah.
They can't.
I mean, obviously, you can never have too many weapons, but I feel like this is a case of not knowing how to distribute your weapons at the exact right time or how to do it efficiently and effectively. I mean, they're giving Algier goal line situations when you have Bijan Robinson right there.
That's your fantasy team talking.
That's my fantasy team.
Out of here.
But still, at the same time, why are you trying to feed your backup running back when you're already feeding Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and whoever else? Stop it. Atlanta, stop it. Simplify it. Run Bijan. Pass it to Drake London. A and B. That's literally what you need to do. But alas, they're making it a lot more complicated, I feel like. And the Panthers, they already know. Run it with Rico Dowdle. That's all you have to do. And that's kind of what the Saints forced the Panthers to do yesterday. I'm going to throw a little bit of a hey-o to the Saints for winning game number two.
Both of our teams won.
I didn't think this day was going to happen, to be honest with you.
Definitely not this year.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And honestly, they forced Bryce Young to be a quarterback, and that was the Panthers' downfall, to be honest. So,
ouch.
Yeah.
They forced him to be a quarterback.
Yep. And
ouch.
Cannot happen. Bryce Young just has not had that much luck against the Saints secondary, to be honest with you. So I'm going there, and then game of the weeks. I actually went the exact opposite of both your things.
I love that.
Seahawks over the Rams and Bills over the Bucks. The Bills are just susceptible to the run game, and I'm not sure if I trust the Bucks run game with Rashad White enough to really take advantage of that. Obviously, we saw Achan just absolutely run the doors off of Buffalo yesterday, so we'll see where that goes. But it's just hard for me to envision Buffalo losing back-to-back games, this one being at home. And then the Seahawks, I mean, it's a coin flip, to be honest with you. You can't go wrong with either team, to be honest with you. It might be a tie.
Might
be a tie.
What do we do there? Got to be a wash, right?
Got to be a wash.
Okay.
Got to be a wash. Yep, that's it for
me. Right. Love it. So we got four games next week. Both of our games of the week are different, so I love that for us.
Yep.
There are tons of good games next week.
Yeah.
So we just talked about two of them with the game of the week. The Sunday night game is the Lions and the Eagles. That's a great game. Denver and the Chiefs are 4:30, 4:25. That's a phenomenal game.
Mm-hmm.
So lots and lots of good football coming up this week. And like I was telling you, the Jets play Thursday, so I can watch that game and then watch all of them on Sunday.
Right.
Cannot wait. So it's going to be a good week. And then the following Sunday,
We're headed to Baltimore.
What do they know? On the road.
Nope.
Can't wait.
In Baltimore. Oh, man.
Jets are 10.5-point dogs already.
Right now?
In that game, yeah. So we might be on the road early. We'll see.
For our first drive, we're out of here. We're gone.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Just there for the food.
All right, yeah. Get some crab cakes.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. Hope you guys enjoyed, and we will talk to you next week.
Yep. Sayonara.
We want to hear from you. Stir up some conversation or controversy and reach out to us on our social media platforms to add to the weekly conversations.